Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, last week we read Ephesians 4 and 5. Most of that we learned that God wants all of us to become children of light, to walk in the light. We learned how important Christian marriage is and how God designed marriage to be an illustration of Christ and His bride, which is us, the church. And how when we live out relationships, particularly that relationship last week, but when we live out relationships the way the Word of God tells us we're to live those out, that there's a blessing in that. God designs that to make us more like Jesus Christ when we understand relationships His way and do it His way. Well, this evening we're going to look at a portion of Ephesians 6, much smaller passage than we looked at last week. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, you can go ahead and turn to Ephesians 6. And here the Apostle Paul, he's passing from this detailed exposition that he gave us in 4 and 5 regarding the relationship of Christian husbands and wives. And here he's instructing us regarding Christian parents and children, specifically in the first several verses here. But it's a continuation. You know, we might look at that on the surface and think, okay, well, husbands and wives and then parents and children, and these are two different things. But they're really very connected, not only in the obvious way of family, but here we're going to see that they're connected and that it's a continuation of this idea that Jesus wants us to live in the light. That's the terminology used in Ephesians 4 and 5 that Paul uses there. In Ephesians 6, he uses the terminology living in the Lord. But these are synonyms. They mean the same thing. With living in the light, we saw those elements of love being foundational to that last week, and respect being part of living in the light. This week in chapter 6, we're going to see that respect and obedience are primary elements of living in the Lord. So let me pray for us as we get ready to read the Word. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the gift of parenthood. God, thank you for those who are parents. Thank you, God, for children. Lord, we recognize that being a parent is a privilege from you. God, we recognize pretty quickly, for those of us who are parents, that it is a task far too great for us to do your way in our own strength and in our wisdom, God, and that we need you. And so, God, we are thankful for the promises of your word. Lord, we claim those promises. You say that those who ask for wisdom receive it. Those who look to you for strength, God, that you do supply that. So we look to you, God, for strength and for insight and for wisdom. God, we want to be faithful, those who are parents, whether those kids are young or adults or older, whatever the age, Lord, or even for grandparents who are pouring into their grandchildren, God, young or old. God, we want to be faithful. We want to live this out in a way that we are submitted to your leadership so that we're able to lead other people, God, the way you want us to. And so, God, I pray for each of us as we look to your word and we try to live this out, God, in your strength, by your spirit, Lord, that you would help us, God, and sustain us and give us what we need that we don't have. Father, we recognize for our kids, for our grandkids, that these are challenging times, Lord, that these are times that you tell us to be holy as you are holy, and this is a tough time to be set apart, that there's maybe nobody who's more vulnerable than our children and our grandchildren, God, and Satan is promoting all these lies in our culture, and there's so many temptations of our flesh, and there are so many distractions in this world, God, and we need you. We desperately need you, God. And so, Lord, as we look to your word, we just pray, God, that you would help us to take your word seriously. God, that without it, our souls can't have what we need. Without your word having authority over our opinions, over my opinions, God, we're in trouble. And so help us, Lord. Help us to be under the authority of your word so that we can be truly blessed as parents, as grandparents, as children. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the parent and in child relationship, and you can insert grandparent here too, I think, but the parent and child relationship, when it is healthy, when it is biblical, this is one of the most wonderful, intimate relationships among human beings that you can have. It is in this relationship, first and foremost among people, that children begin to really learn and to receive love and affection and guidance in their life and security that they need, that we all need. And we know that for us who are parents or those who are grandparents, that we need to look to the Word of God for us to be guided, for us to have what we need in order to provide what they need. And so let's go ahead and look at Ephesians 6:1. And Paul writes here, beginning out, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And this expression here, in the Lord, what he's saying is, because children, because you are in the Lord. And I know sometimes, and I probably did this myself, but there's a plenty of times I can remember, it's easier to remember other people's transgressions than mine. But there's plenty of times sitting across from somebody in a mentoring session or a counseling session, and especially often a younger person, but they're very critical of their parents. And, you know, I could get the respect part right if they would just be better parents. And some of you may be shocked to hear that, but that comes out of people's mouths a lot. Actually, now that I think of it, I can remember in my teenage years that coming out of mine. But what the Lord's saying here, he's talking to Christians. So he's saying, listen, if you're going to claim my name, if you're going to walk in the light, if you're going to be walking in the Lord, if you're a Christian child or a grandchild, because you are in the Lord, because of your relationship to Him, not to your child or your parents, but because of your relationship with children. So he's saying, listen, children, obey your parents because of your relationship with the Lord. And not only because of your relationship with the Lord, but he's saying, I want you to obey them as you would the Lord. Man, talk about a challenge. For this is right. For this is right. And here he's saying, this is fundamentally right. It's not just right because you're in the Lord. It is right because you're in the Lord to do what Jesus wants you to do, to obey your parents the way He wants you to obey them as you are obeying the Lord. But He's saying here, it's right foundationally that this is normal for human conscience, that God puts this within us, that people throughout the ages, non-believers, know that children are supposed to obey their parents. Across all the world, for thousands of years, people get this, that this is just a basic principle of humanity. It's foundational. It's right. But not only obey. Not only obey. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on earth. It's the fifth of the Ten Commandments. And this is an assurance. And really a guarantee. But it's not saying, these are actually tied together, this quantity of years and quality of years. And so what Paul's writing here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's saying, listen, if you will do this, if you will live out this obedience to authority that God has established in your life, this is going to impact your entire life in a positive way. You may very well live longer because of the choices that you make. You're absolutely going to live a better life if you obey your parents, if you honor authority, because the other choice is rebellion. And every authority that God puts in your life is put there from God Himself as an extension of His authority. And so He's saying, be sure to honor them that you may enjoy long life, and it may go well with you. The quality of your life will be better. Verse 4, fathers, and he means parents, fathers and mothers, parents, probably goes for grandparents too. Do not exasperate your children. Some translations say, don't provoke them to anger by the way you treat them. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord that comes from God. Bring them up and instruct them. This is not just teaching. These aren't just words. He's saying with your actions, with who you are in relationship with God, in your heart for God that they see day to day, you are instructing them. You are instructing them in your love that they see that you have for them, in your love that you have for God. Don't exasperate them. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let's look at verse 6:1 again. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord. They're to obey their parents in a way that they would obey Christ. You know, parents, kids of any age need to hear this, that parents have an incredible responsibility to God. They have such a high calling to raise you, if you're a child, in the ways of the Lord, that you would learn from them. And then children also have a great responsibility because you have a responsibility to obey. To obey mom, dad, stepmom, stepdad, doesn't matter. God brings people into positions in your life for a reason. Semantics over titles don't get you out of obeying. Children are to respect this authority just as they respect Christ. And there's some key thoughts here for children. We're saying to have this obedience and this honor, he's saying you need to show trust and love. You need to learn from your parents. They're offering you guidance and you need to receive that. And in obeying parents, children are recognizing that this authority, this is from God. And so I need to acknowledge it. And then parents are to set rules. But not only set rules for you, parents. Not only are you setting rules for kids that are hopefully godly rules, but God has set rules for you. And your obedience to the Word of God, your obedience to live out the calling, the high calling of being a parent, the way that you live out God's call in your life as a husband and a wife and a parent and as a man and woman of God, that is setting an example for your child to follow the rules that you're setting that are biblical, that are godly. So that your children will comply with your rules as they see you living out obedience to God's rules. And when you do that, it helps your children to develop maturity and responsibility and judgment. It is essential in the Christian home. It is essential in the Christian home. Authority and obedience must be biblical and they must be in place and healthy. If they are not, there will not be peace. You cannot have lasting peace or harmony or healthy relationships in your family without these. This is serious. Absence of not just authority, godly authority. Absence of obedience, but not just any obedience, godly obedience. If you don't have those things on both sides, you will have chaos, always. It will always lead to chaos. I want to say a word about legalism. About legalism. Parents who are all about rules and behavior compliance, that's a form of legalism. It's a form of legalism. But children who are obedient only in the presence of their parents or only to stay out of trouble, that's another form of legalism. That's legalistic obedience. That's not obedience the way Christ wants it. So we need to understand this, that legalism on the part of parents establishing and enforcing rules, if it's only done in a way that exasperates your children, or children who are just obeying in a legalistic way, this is never going to bring about harmony in your family the way God wants it to. the way he intends it to, the way it's supposed to happen. Again, let's look at verses 2 and 3. Children are to honor their father and mother. Children are to honor their father and mother. If you're in the same household, that's when really obedience applies. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you were a child living in the same household as your parents, God expects you to be obedient. No matter what age you are, and whether you live in the same household or not, God always commands that you honor your father and your mother. Always. No matter what the age. Adults have to honor their parents too. It applies when your parents are old. It applies when they're annoying you, when they're cantankerous, when they are maybe not quite able to track with what you're saying. Honoring your parents means that you always acknowledge their value, that you never demean them. And that is a terribly hard task to faithfully do in your flesh. I'd be willing to say, I'll just own it for me. It's impossible in my flesh. Because genuine agape love that it takes to honor your parents, you can't do without the Holy Spirit. When you feel inconvenienced by your parents, when you feel frustrated, it's hard. It's hard to honor them and esteem them the way God commands, but it doesn't matter if it's hard. He commands it. He expects it. And just in case you guys feel like I'm picking on you, I'll tell you right now, if there is any command of God that I have habitually failed in my life, this is it. If there's any way that you're wondering, besides recovering from a stroke, that you want to know how you can pray for me, I can always do better at this than I do. Honoring your parents means that you encourage them. You encourage them. You show them the love of Christ. You bring hope into their life. When they're in the nursing home, you take time to visit. When they're in the hospital, you visit. When they're home alone, you go and just hang out and talk about nothing, and that's okay. You spend time with them. You know, maybe it means that you provide for them in some way. You know, I know that we expect children to, or parents to help children financially when they're younger, but there are times where parents need help financially. And if you can do that and they need it, as Christians, you have to be willing to sacrifice to honor your parents, to do whatever you can do to honor your parents, to provide for them, to help them. Maybe it means pulling weeds. I can tell you right now, my mom's planted 100 times more flowers at my house than I've planted at hers. But it means helping. It means spending time in conversation. It means just going for a walk together, reverencing them, appreciating them. Appreciating. I mean, as a child, I can tell you that I think we are so quick to not recognize the hardships our parents go through, the sacrifices that they make, the anxiety that they deal with because I'm her child. And we've got to acknowledge that. We've got to appreciate that in our lives. And kids, once you are away from home, if you're going to truly follow God's instructions, you've got to stay in touch with your parents. Parents have a little grace if they're not. I don't think all of... Well, I'm not going to say anything, but... Yeah, I don't live this out perfectly either. Neither do my kids. Stay in touch with your parents. Ignoring them is not honoring them. Honoring parents should be the natural disposition of children who are living in the Lord, who have the Holy Spirit in them. It displays godly character. It displays a Christian virtue that can only come through the Holy Spirit in us. It is so closely tied to humility and submission and patience and all these wonderful things that God wants to grow in our character that we need. But we've got to honor our parents to see these things come to life and to grow in us. But it takes agape love. Honoring parents carries with it a promise that there is a better quality to life as a consequence. You put yourself in a better position to receive the blessing of the abundant life that Christ wants for you when you live a life honoring your parents. Verse 4, parents are not to provoke their children to wrath. And this is a warning, parents. It is a warning against a very real danger to misuse your power, to misuse your authority. Severity in any way on the part of a parent, and I failed there as well, but when you do that, it makes a child reluctant to obey you. It makes them reluctant to honor you when you treat them in a severe way. You know, as parents, sometimes we are so committed to cultural norms and traditions, and heaven forbid my kids should start singing too loud in the shopping cart, you know, because that's going to embarrass me for three aisles over at Meijer. Sometimes we are so caught up in what other people think of breaches of protocol and tradition on the part of our kids that we misuse our parental power. We have got to be so careful not to try to force our children into complying to cultural behaviors and rules and things that have no support in Scripture at all. Because it leads to rebellion. It will lead them to rebellion. You may get their behavior under control for 2 minutes, but you're going to have 2 years of rebellion as a result of it. Another danger that we face as parents, those who are parents, is that when you exercise so much control over your kids and you forget they're a human being, you're robbing them of their dignity. As a unique human being that God has created, you're insulting them. No matter what their age, if you're hyper-controlling everything they do, that type of control says to a child, even a little child, I don't trust you. I don't have any confidence in you. That is a very bad message. Parents need to be intentional. Yes, we have rules and authority, but we've got to be intentional. Give encouragement to your kids. Every day, give encouragement. In the words that you say, in your actions, big actions and little things, whether they're having what you think is a success or a failure, encourage your kids. Encourage them. But not exasperating your children is also a warning against being overly soft or careless with your kids, to where you just don't teach them to respect authority at all. And when we do that, when we spoil them, when there's just no restraint at all, it leads to rebellion. God demands that we spend some of our time carefully and lovingly teaching our kids boundaries, not being careless, and just because it's easier to just stick them in front of the TV for 6 hours instead of teaching them life lessons. Give them good boundaries and stick to those. As I was preparing for this message, I was reading just some life stories about parent and children relationships, and I read about this little girl. And she had this string of just misbehaviors, just over and over and over, just acting up. And her mom, each time she'd have this misbehavior, whatever it was, her mom would scold her just enough to get in the way of the behavior, but not really ever kind of deal with the issue there. And it just went on and on and on and on with the misbehavior and the scolding. And finally, this little girl said, "I wish my dad would come home and make me behave." Children need boundaries. They need for the parents to show good authority, healthy authority, healthy boundaries. And if we don't do that, that also provokes a child to wrath. I read about a youth pastor at a church, and he was in the presence of this, he was counseling this teenage girl and her mom, and this teenage girl was just saying all these ugly, ugly things in front of her mother, about her mother, to her youth pastor, and after several minutes, the mom had just kind of had it, and she got up, and she walked out of the room, and the girl turned to her youth pastor, and she says, "Why does my mother let me talk to her like that?" Kids need godly boundaries. Parents are to raise their children in the nurture. In the nurture, it means training, it means discipline, in the admonition or the instruction of the Lord. Nurture there is also translated as discipline, and it's the meaning of it is total training, total education of your children, and it means developing their heart, developing their mind, developing their character. It means using discipline, using commands, sometimes punishment when you need to. But when you do that, it cultivates morals. It cultivates the mind that God wants them to have. When you correct mistakes and restrict some of their sinful passions, they need that. But parents have to do that using, not misusing, but having the truth of God's Word and doing it in the power and love of the Holy Spirit. Always disciplining in love under the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. The admonition here, it's also translated as instruction, and it means to instruct with words, but also means encourage your kids. Not just correcting, but encouraging them. It means sometimes you have to have some reproof. Sometimes you have to show their children they need to take responsibility or even to take blame if they're at fault for something. But at the same time, to do it in a way that encourages. Encourage them. But always do it in the Lord. Always do it in the Lord. The way that Christ would do if he was with you, because he is. Christian parents and grandparents, the only way for you to live that out well, the role, the responsibility that God has given you, the only way to live it out well is for you to have a very close walk with Christ. That you have a healthy walk with God in a way that he is leading and you are following. You are obeying his word. You are living in the power of his Spirit. You are loving in the power of his Spirit. And when you do that, you are training your children or your grandchildren the ways of the Lord, not only by what you say, but by your example. God is not only our power for good parenting, he is our pattern. He's our example. I want to paint a scene for you. This is Luke 22. I'm going to use the New Living Translation, but it's the Last Supper. A lot of you guys are familiar with this scene. It's the Last Supper. Jesus and the disciples, they've come together to share this Passover meal. And in a sense, you know, the disciples, they're learners, and Jesus is teaching them. And in a way, they're almost like his kids. They're under his authority. They're under his teaching. And he's responsible for them. And so they're hanging out together. They're having this meal. And you guys know when all your kids are together and you're having a meal, sometimes misbehavior ensues. And so they start arguing. The disciples start arguing over who's going to be a big shot. Who's the biggest deal? You guys ever maybe had this among your kids around a table or a gathering before? Only at our house? This is immediately after Jesus has instituted communion. And they're arguing over who gets to be a big shot. Who's better than who? Who's more worthy? And they're arguing and they're going at it. And Jesus parents them. He provides discipline. He provides instruction. Verse 24, Then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, "In this world, the kings and the great men, the big shots, they lord it over people, and yet they're called friends of the people. But among you, among those who are walking in the light, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you will take the lowest rank. The leader will be like the servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I, Jesus said, I am among you as one who serves. For parents and grandparents, for all of us, Jesus is the example. Jesus is the example of godly honoring his Father, of godly obedience to the Father, of parenting well these disciples. Jesus is the example. If you ever question your interaction with your kids and whether you need to go a little this way or that way, and you don't see something clearly, a rule you can lay hold of, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. There's your example. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to have communion in a few minutes. So worship, you can go ahead and hang out for just a minute. Heavenly Father, Lord, God, you know your word is challenging to me. For all of us, God, that you invite us to walk in the light, to live in the light, to grow in the Lord. God, you invite us to live in your love, to love others, God, to be a source of blessing, to encourage each other, God, and that, Lord, we know that our relationships, whether that is brothers and sisters in Christ, God, whether that is siblings, whether that is parents and children, or husband or wife, and no matter what it is, God, we know that all of these relationships have a purpose, that ultimately you are to be glorified, that we are to live these out according to your plan, the way that you have laid out your way, in your character. And so, God, I'm just going to ask in Jesus' name that you would give us what we need. Lord, you and I both know where I fall short often. I don't know where each person here falls short, God, but you do. And I know you want to do a work not to condemn, God, but to grow and to heal and to teach. And so, God, I pray that in the power of the Holy Spirit, God, for every child, which is all of us, for every parent and grandparent, God, make us better. Help us to do this in a way that's in keeping with your heart, that is in keeping with your word, that brings you glory, that we see the difference, that the difference that you make is so obvious that even though we're immersed in these relationships, that we see it and that other people see it and they praise you for it, God. Lord, for anybody here tonight who maybe they're on the outside looking in and they're not saved and they know it, thank you that Jesus came on a rescue mission. Thank you, God, that you came to save us not only from the fires of hell, but to enjoy real life with you. That you say to those who are here tonight who have never come to that place of saving faith in you, God, that you say to them right now, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And Lord, you tell us in that passage in Revelation 3, where you say those words, God, you say, "Those whom I love, I rebuke. Those whom I love, I discipline. And so if there's anybody here tonight, God, who doesn't know you yet, and they're feeling a weight of guilt or a weight of shame over their sin, God, or their mistakes, I just pray right now that they would understand that discipline is out of love. That weight is there because you want to save them, God. That you reveal sin. That you don't ignore it out of grace, God, but you reveal it out of grace. So that we can repent. So that we can be saved. And God, you tell us in that passage, you say, be earnest and repent. Take this seriously. That Jesus is here right now and he is saying, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you hear my voice and you will open that door, I will come in. So if Jesus is revealing that to you right now, if the Holy Spirit is revealing that to you, he wants you to take it seriously. He wants you to turn away from death and to turn to life. He wants you to open that door of your life to him by faith. To just say, Jesus, I don't even understand what all this means, but I just know that I need you. And I want you to come in and I want you to be with me and I want this life that you have for me. If you will do that right now, and you don't need my help or anybody else's, if you will just say, Jesus, I want to be yours. Show me what the next steps are, but for right now, I just want you to take over. Forgive me. You tell me if I ask, you'll forgive, God, and that's what I'm asking. If you will do that, he's faithful. God, I pray if there's any barrier to that happening, that you would remove that, Lord. That you would save. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to celebrate communion now. So if you need to run to the restroom, go ahead and do it. You're among family. You know, you don't have to ask permission at your house to go use the bathroom. You don't have to ask permission here. Yeah. If you need a drink, the water's in the fridge. This is family. This is, I think, a better name than sanctuary. This is the living room. It's a place of life, right? We're going to celebrate together who Jesus Christ is and what he's done to save us. You know, some people, some different phrases for communion. Some people call it the Jesus table. I love that because I just like keeping Jesus center of everything. Some people call it the thank you meal or the thank you Jesus meal. I think those are great names for this. 1 Corinthians 11:26 or 23 through 26 says, this is the Apostle Paul writing, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, when his disciples had this crazy argument about who's a hot shot in the kingdom, on the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people. It is an agreement confirmed in my blood, Jesus said. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing, Paul wrote, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. You know, when Jesus says, do this and remember me, in remembrance of me, he's not just saying, remember the horrible price that I paid on the cross. He's saying that. That's part of it. He wants us to remember that he paid an incredible price for your freedom. An incredible price for your sins to be covered. And he wants us to always remember that at communion. But he also wants us to remember why. Because he loves you that much. He loves you so much that he went to that cross to set you free from death, to set you free from sin, so that you can walk in freedom from those things, so that you can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and have abundant life with Him who is with you and who is in you. And so if you are a follower of Jesus Christ tonight, I want to invite you to come forward and participate and just thank Him through this. Thank Him. Thank Him for what He has done so that you can have a victory eternally that you could have never won for yourself. But praise God, He loved you enough that He won this for you and that you have life in Him. So the table's ready. So as your hearts are ready, no hurry. God does want us to approach this with due humility and seriousness. And so if you need 5 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever it takes to make sure that your heart and God's heart are at peace, go ahead and take that time. But as you're ready, don't hesitate. Come up.